Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Every religion, with the exception of Christianity perhaps, has one goal and one goal alone, and that is to find God, to seek God, to touch God, to reach God. God is up there, we are down here. God is out there, we are in here. And if any communication is going to be established, according to most religions, it's going to be up to us. Whether you want to picture it as a ladder or a road, man starts his journey up or out to find God. But all of these attempts to reach God ultimately fail. Why? We're going to answer that question, among others, tonight as we talk about man's failed attempts to reach God on Issues Etc. Now, unlike most of what you hear on at night on the weekends, Issues Etc. is a live call-in program. You're not hearing a best-of program. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, May the 6th, and we want to hear from you. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, listeners with the best questions and comments tonight will get the book, The Spirituality of the Cross, by a regular guest, Dr. Gene Edward Veith. 1-800-730-2727, or our email, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guest tonight to talk about man's failed attempts to reach God, Dr. Stephen Hine. He's director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies based in Colorado Springs. He spent 23 years teaching theology at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Hine, it's always a pleasure. Welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's so good to be with you this evening and on such an important topic.
You can study world religions, and they all boil down to attempts to reach God. How is Christianity different from all other religions in this respect?
Christianity is really distinctive in having the message that the way upon which man and God get together and a communion occurs between them is not on the basis of any sort of human effort, human endeavor, or human virtue, but rather that it is God who has stooped down to us and done the things that are necessary that we cannot do for ourselves to bridge the gap that sin has created between God and man. As the Bible teaches, as Paul says in Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of your own doing. That phrase, not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, is what is so distinctive about Christianity. God does it all, and we are the recipients of his saving work. He has blessed us in every way, and we are the ones who profit from that.
So other than it being a distinction between Christianity and other world religions, what's wrong with the so-called Jacob's ladder approach to God, where we make the ladder and we climb up?
Well, the problem with the ladder approach, or any particular, whether it's a ladder or a road or however, what is always presumed is that somehow we have the capability, or at least the capability of God will help us anyways, of being able to bridge that gap. That just about everybody happens to recognize that things in this world are not as they ought to be, and we are not the people that we ought to be. I think just about every religion and philosophy wants to recognize a problem of evil that has created a gulf between us and God. The radical difference between Christianity, though, is that Christianity wants to say that this problem is so great and so severe that human beings simply have no resources whatsoever to be able to climb a ladder, walk a road, or do anything to bridge the gulf and make ourselves acceptable in God's sight. So that Christianity's good news is that God, seeing our plight, has had mercy upon us, and that he has carried out a saving plan to be able to bridge that gulf and to bring us unto him solely as a gift through the saving work of Jesus Christ.
So Christianity, rather than being man's attempt to reach God, it is in fact God reaching down to man.
Exactly. If we wanted to think of a ladder, this ladder between us and God is not something that we climb up to reach God, but it is something where he descends to come down and to grab us out of the clutches of sin, death, and the devil, and to bring us to himself.
Adolf Kaberle wrote a famous book some decades back, The Quest for Holiness, and he was dealing in many ways with the same subject we're talking about tonight. He broke it down into three different ways that man attempts to reach God, beginning with what he called the will. Let's talk about the will and deeds as a failed attempt to reach God, Dr. Hine.
That's probably the most popular. If you look at so many of the major religions or philosophies of the world, the way upon which it is understood that human beings can make progress and enter into a communion with God is a moral route. It is the route that somehow says, you know, we're not the people that we ought to be from a moral standpoint, but with sufficient commitment and effort, we can make progress by pulling ourselves up by our own ethical bootstraps, as it were, that we can apply ourselves to holy things, that we can carry out works that are pleasing in God's sight, and that those works can be reckoned to our own benefit that will enable us to climb up to God and to enter into communion, that we can make ourselves fit for divine communion and divine audience.
What does God's Word have to say about this particular way, this way of moralism or constructing a ladder of our own deeds to reach God? What does Scripture say of it?
If we were going to look at the Scripture and we were going to talk about the moral avenue, probably the word that we find in the New Testament used more often to refer to the moral route to God is the route which particularly St. Paul refers to as law. The law, we know, of course, is summarized by the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. And those are probably the bedrock moral principles that the Scriptures present. And they say to us, if you can do this, which of course we can't, but if you can do this, if you can love God with all your might, heart, mind, and soul, and neighbor as yourself, then you can live and be righteous. But the New Testament wishes to teach, St. Paul particularly in Romans and Ephesians and in Galatians, wishes to say, as he does in the second chapter of Galatians, for instance, that by works of the law, no one will be justified. For the law was not given to us so that if we could use it as a resource that we might be able to improve ourselves to be acceptable to God, but rather that the law or the moral principles, the purpose of those, is to reveal to us not our ability, but rather our inability. So Paul can say that the purpose of the law in Romans 3:19, for instance, is to reveal to us the nature and severity of our problem of sin, and to show us that we are dead in our trespasses, not simply in a needs improvement category.
Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest tonight on Issues Etc. as we come to you live this Sunday, the 6th of May. Our call in number 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. You're listening to Issues Etc. Now, we want to hear from you on man's failed attempts to reach God. Maybe some of this is sounding a bit like the moralism you're hearing from your own Christian pulpit. If it is, give us a call. 1-800-730-2727 or email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're giving away this great book called The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Jean Edward Veith. When we come back, one more question on the moral ladder to God. It really serves as a summary or an end point for all of man's failed attempts to reach God, whether it be of the emotions or of the mind or of the will. All of them sooner or later boil down to this innate moralism. It's our natural inborn religion. It really is, if you want to think of it this way, the religion of our fallen nature. We know our dilemma, to at least to some degree, that we do wrong and we displease God, but the answer is not our deeds. We'll be right back.
Dr. David Scare, chairman of the Department of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, with two good reasons why a man should consider studying for the pastoral ministry.
The first one is, I really think the things of this world are not really worth striving after because it's all going to be taken away. The second thing, which is really the most important thing, is that the preaching of the gospel is its own reward. And there is no other greater satisfaction to know that God has used you in a very significant way. And not that you're all that, not that we are all that important, because a few months, a few years after we pass away, we're forgotten. But just to know that you have acted in this way, and many people in the world to come are going to thank those people through whom the gospel was preached.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Find their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Has your pastor ever accused you of being an adulterer, a murderer, or a thief? If not, he's not doing his job. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the next Issues Etc. journal called The Law's Accusations, and we'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. Can you have the sweetness of the gospel without the sternness of God's holy law? Find out with the Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Plus, the Wittenberg Trail feature details Chris Rosebro's journey from the man-made holiness of the Nazarene Church to the Christ-given holiness of the Reformation. 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Ask for a free complimentary copy of the Issues Etc. journal.
You know, the problem is whether the rungs of your ladder are your will, your emotions, or your mind, none of those rungs of these little ladders that we construct to reach God can bear the weight of your sin. They all collapse under that weight. We're talking about man's failed attempt to reach God tonight on Issues, Etc. Next week on the program, we're going to discuss the influence of Christianity on the fairer sex, on women. Dr. Alvin Schmidt of Illinois College will be our guest. How has Christianity treated women compared to other world religions? What's the track record? What was the status of women in Hebrew culture or Greek culture or Roman culture? We'll talk about it next week with Dr. Alvin Schmidt. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of May, you can visit our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the new Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. It's called Word, God Speaks to Us. This is by Pastor John Pless, a regular guest here on the program. He has a tremendous talent for breaking down complex ideas into a simple form that is easily accessible. And he does this in this great Bible study that's our Book of the Month for May called Word, God Speaks to Us. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or you can look for the book cover at our website, issuesetc.org. The book is called Word, God Speaks to Us. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. Dr. Stephen Hein is our guest. Dr. Hein, before the break, we were talking about the moral avenue to God. This one really ends up being the catch-all for all the other failed attempts to reach God, doesn't it?
I believe it does. We're going to be talking maybe about a couple of the other rungs in that ladder of failed attempts to God. But I think one of the things that I want our hearers to understand, and that is when we look at the other rungs that people tend to put as avenues to God, they usually are simply additional means to an end to aid us in being able to make ourselves fit in some moral way and acceptable to God. We'll see how this discussion plays out here, though.
Well, another one, another construction material, if you will, for the ladder that man constructs to reach God, is the emotions, the feelings, perhaps even man's own inner experience. Talk about this.
Sure. Probably one of the best labels we could put for this one would be what we might call the mystical rung on the ladder to God. The idea that if we're going to really enter into a communion with God, then we're going to have to make ourselves a little bit more godly, maybe even perhaps receive his help, which is often referred to as some kind of communion or fullness of the Spirit or communion with the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. In Christian circles, anyways, it is often thought that, well, we're not really able to be the people, morally speaking, that we ought to be. But if we could just receive the blessing from God and receive the fullness of His Spirit in our heart and experience that, those are going to be additional helps to us to get over the hump in making ourselves really fit for God and being the people that that He would be willing to accept. So the idea of closeness with God as an internal communion is often thought of as an avenue that provides divine help and strength to reform ourselves, or possibly the idea that if we reform ourselves enough, then God will bring this kind of blissful communion, and that will be the evidence that we've really bridged the gulf and become finally acceptable to God. So it plays out in both ways.
Well, evaluate the very common notion. It's common not only among other world religions, but sadly even among Christians, that if it's something going on inside of me, something stirring in me, then it is de facto a spiritual event, a significant spiritual event. Perhaps even it must be God's doing if it's stirring within me. Is this how Christianity understands the stirrings of the human heart?
Not really. When we want to think in terms of what's going on in the deep recesses of our heart or our emotions, there really are three possibilities. We could just be experiencing ourselves and having kind of an emotional trip, and we are just simply experiencing our own emotionality and nothing more. Or another possibility is that the stirrings that are going on inside of us, they may be supernatural, but God isn't the only supernatural force out there. So also is the devil. And the devil will take us down any false road that he can devise that we might be attracted toward, and he is more than willing to go ahead and give us whatever kinds of experiences that he thinks, of course, we might enjoy if, in fact, it would reinforce that false road. And I'm afraid that mysticism and spiritism are something that the devil can use just as much as any other spiritual force. We perhaps could make this particular note. Does God wish to have a presence in our heart? And the answer to that question is yes. And has God written something very important for us upon our hearts? And the answer there is yes also. But what he has done, he has not written the means of salvation upon our hearts. Rather, he has written his law upon our hearts. And the purpose that God wants to use internally, and he wants us to use conscience in this regard, is to help us come to see the full depths of our sin and the fact that we cannot climb this ladder to him, but rather that we need to reach out for his mercy, which he brings to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is not something that comes from within our heart, but rather through an external word of his gospel that he brings to us from the outside.
So with only a minute or so, what is the real danger of basing our faith upon the stirrings of our own heart or equating this with the work of the Holy Spirit, thinking that somehow we are making a spiritual advance toward God when we are when we have this inner emotional or ecstatic experience? What's the basic danger here? 1 minute.
I think the basic danger here is that the experiences that we have in our heart, they don't come self-interpreted. We have to apply that kind of an interpretation. And that interpretation that we would try to devise is something that is devoid of the Word of God. God promises not to come to us and to give us some sort of blowing away rich emotional experiences, but rather to deliver to us saving gifts that come to us like the forgiveness of sins through his external word. So emotions are there, but they need to be interpreted on the basis of God's word, and God tells us that he doesn't save us by our emotions. He saves us by his saving gifts through Jesus Christ.
So, folks, do you agree or disagree with what we've said so far on man's failed attempts to reach God? You can give us a call during this break, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. You can also send us your email right here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're talking about man's failed attempts to reach God. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. By the way, you can find several resources on this issue under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. The best callers tonight get the book, The Spirituality of the Cross. You can also email us as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org. That call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Stephen Hine is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, based in Colorado Springs, and he spent 23 years teaching theology at Concordia University, Chicago. All right, it's stirring in our heart, these feelings, and if that's not the right avenue, then my goodness, what is? Some people might say the mind. We'll talk about that after this.
Pastor John Folley of LCMS World Relief on its ongoing efforts to help the victims of Hurricane Katrina.
We are continuing to be involved in the response to Hurricane Katrina, continuing to partner with the Southern District and meeting the long-range and long-term needs of the Lutheran churches and schools and church workers and the community at large through Camp Restore, with helping them to rebuild.
To find out how you can continue to support the victims of Hurricane Katrina, look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 1-888-930-4438. Ask about Camp Restore, 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the importance of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and his saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking about man's failed attempts to reach God. So far we've talked about the will, man trying to will himself up that ladder to God, or to feel himself, experience himself up that ladder to God. Both of these are failed attempts to reach God. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. Folks, the faculty at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is going to be speaking throughout the country this summer. That's what they do when they're not in regular class sessions. Cities like Wheaton, Illinois, Palo Alto, California, Seattle, and Austin, and elsewhere. Some of the subjects they're going to be talking about, law and gospel in today's culture, Paul and his opponents in Galatia, and the Christology of the Book of Revelation. To find out about the continuing education programs being offered by Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, for both lay people and pastors, visit our website, issuesetc.org, or call area code 260-452-2241. You can meet the Issues Etc. regular guests that you hear all the time, Dr. Larry Rass, Carl Fekencher, Arthur Just, and others this summer. Area code 260-452-2241, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Why is it then, Dr. Hine, that we so often equate what we feel inside with what God is doing? Should we think of God's activity as primarily taking place inside me?
Well, I don't think that we ought to take it that way, but so often we do. If God is not immediately present to us, if we see that he is an invisible force, well, it's easy for us somehow to make the connection that that God is going to be somehow touching us in some sort of way that is an intangible thing. And the emotions, of course, as we all know, are things that can be very strong. And because they are so very strong, we often can be tempted to think that they are a particularly good guide for what's really going on. And this is just not the case. It's not the case on a human level, and it's certainly not the case on a divine level as well. Emotions are strong, but they are also very vague. That is, just because you happen to be happy or fearful does not carry with it any particular definitive reason as to why those things are the case. So God has been pleased to come to us in a much more precise way. He comes to us through the use of human language. It is through His Word that comes to us, His gospel word, which He brings to us from the outside as that gospel is preached and taught and proclaimed, as we may read it in our Bibles, as we may meditate upon it. And here, therefore, God is pleased to use a human instrument, namely human language, which is something much more precise than flighty, though strong, emotions, and with precision to tell us who He is, to tell us what our problem of sin is, and what He has done to overcome that problem in Jesus Christ, and to bring the saving gifts of Christ to us. So Jesus, as it were, if we were walking and talking with Him, He would be on the outside, just as He was with the disciples. So also, through the apostolic and prophetic word, Jesus comes to us in every day and age, just as He did with the disciples in the flesh.
It's not just a question of the true avenue to God, but it becomes a question then again of certainty.
Yes.
Something outside of me. We really would need to reorient the way we think, because we tend to think today, especially us religious types, that if it happens outside of me, it's uncertain, but if it happens inside of me, it's more certain. But Scripture doesn't say that, does it?
No, it's just the opposite. If we think in terms of Paul's words to Timothy, they're in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, where he talks about Scripture being God's Word, that it is inspired of God and it is profitable for teaching, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. But notice, instruction in righteousness. And the instruction in righteousness is not the exhortation of us to clean up our act, but rather it is the proclamation and the bestowal of the righteousness of Christ. It's His righteousness that He gives to us through that word that bridges the gap between God and man. And that is something that comes to us in the outside. It may affect our emotions. In other words, it may flood us with a sense of tremendous relief and joy that He has done such things. But again, our emotions are reacting to something that is coming to us from the outside that has the precision of human language in terms of our ability to really know what it is that is saving us and how it is that we may be confident that we belong to God for the sake of Christ and His righteousness.
Well, the third and false and failed attempt to reach God comes in the form of the mind or right thoughts. Talk briefly about this, Dr. Hine.
Yes. This particularly has been what we might call a more modern false avenue that has been taken up. The idea that we may bridge the gap between us and God by having a properly enlightened mind. That is, that God is kind of a riddle. And if we can figure Him out with the use of our own reason, that can bridge the gap. As if the major problem that separates us from God is superstition, ignorance, and a lack of reasonable reflection. And so the rational road to God, or the rational rung on the ladder, has been particularly a modern era false attempt to reach God, particularly beginning in the 18th century, which was kind of the age of rationalism. We called it the Age of Enlightenment, in which human beings thought that they had unlimited potential in the use of human reason, that we could unlock not only the mysteries of nature, but that we could unlock the mysteries of God as well, and thereby bridge the gap between us and God.
Is it any more fruitful an attempt to reach God than the two other false ladders we've talked about already tonight, the will or the emotions?
They really aren't. It's just as futile. But if we indicated that there was, for instance, a connection often between the emotional route to God and the moral route, that is to say that if through our emotions we think we can get the fullness of God in our heart, there he can be our aid to clean up our act in terms of the moral rung. We see also a connection that has occurred in the history of Western thought between the rational route to God and the moral route, because the rational route to God has tended to underplay the problem of sin and evil, and to ascribe to us the notion that it's much more reasonable to think that we are not dead in our trespasses, we're just in the needs improvement category. And the rational approach has also tended to erase a intimate supernatural connection between man and God, and thereby reduce Christianity into a religion of moral principles and good moral living. And so usually the rational approach to God is where we have jettisoned the great biblical themes of sin and grace and law and gospel, and reduced things down simply to the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, and the gulf between man and man and man and God is just simply love.
So then, again, as we point out several times already tonight, whether it be a man who tries to climb up a ladder, which the rungs of which are his own deeds or his own willful acts, or whether it's a man who attempts to climb the ladder, the rungs of which are his own experiences or emotions, or, in this case, the rungs of which are his right thoughts, in any case, it really all ends in that old Adamic fallen moralism.
I believe it does. And if our listeners could appreciate one thing, and maybe they have heard this time and time and again by other religions or false versions of Christianity or other philosophers, as the old song goes, all the world, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And either reason comes to that idea, or our emotions come to that idea, or our moral sense of commitment and loftiness comes to that idea, and that then becomes kind of the common denominator, which is going to solve the problems of human existence and bridge the gulf between us and the divine.
Let's talk about that on the other side of the break. Folks, I spent 2 days early last week at the LCMS Relief Conference on Mercy. I cannot begin to tell you about all of the great work that they're doing all around the world. LCMS World Relief, it's an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul, and it's an organization that's worthy of your support. To find out about their efforts, check out our website, issuesetc.org. You can also donate to LCMS World Relief by calling 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief, 1-888-930-4438. Your email and your phone calls after this break, 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Martin Luther had a famous reflection on the Reformation. He said, "The Word did everything." While he sat and talked and drank beer with his friends, he said, "The Word overturned the doctrines of the Pope. The Word did everything." Well, the Word is the subject of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Word, God Speaks to Us, by Pastor John Pless. He's a regular guest on Issues Etc. The book is $8.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information about Word, God Speaks to Us, go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Word, God Speaks to Us, by Pastor John Pless, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you.
You're listening to Issues, Etc. Martin Luther once called the doctrine of justification the doctrine by which the church stands or falls. What is the central nature of this teaching, and why is it so important? Here's Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
Paul articulates for us more clearly than anywhere else in Scripture that great biblical doctrine of justification, that as the sinner stands before the righteous judge, he is declared to be not guilty because of that which Christ has done for us. When God the judge looks on us, he sees not our sins, not our failures and our flaws, but the pure white robe of Christ's righteousness. And we are declared to be justified, not guilty, because of that which Christ has done for us.
Issues, Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
There's a lady who's sure all it glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven.
Well, we're talking about man's failed attempts to reach God tonight on Issues, Etc. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. Here's an email that we received last week. This one comes from Ben in Billings, Montana. He writes in part, "Thank you for all your superb programming. It's unbelievably comforting to hear the proclamation of the real gospel amid the wilderness of crossless, bloodless, do-it-yourself American religion. It's refreshing," writes Bill, "to have someone other than TBN portraying Christianity to the world." Well, thank you very much for that email, Ben. And if you, along with Ben, appreciate the Christ-centered, cross-focused message of Issues, Etc., consider making a tax-deductible gift this week to help support this worldwide outreach. Now, you can donate by check. Our address is Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. You can donate by credit card. We have a resource line number. It's 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate online. Our website address, issuesetc.org. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. Oh, and by the way, in return for any size gift, we're going to send you a two-hour CD with Dr. Norman Nagel on the Passion of Christ and with Dr. Arthur Just on the Resurrection of Christ. Well, here's another email for tonight's program. Jeff in McKinney, Texas writes this, Dr. Hine.
Yes?
Romans 3 tells us that no one is righteous and, just as importantly, no one seeks God. In a culture where both Christians and non-Christians consider themselves quote-unquote seekers, it seems we aren't only trying to find our own way to God, we're trying to create our own version of Him. A tamed, convenient, vague deity is the order of our culture. This is a far cry from the Trinitarian incarnational God of Christianity. How do we help people understand that what they are quote-unquote seeking is what they already have? The God of the self. How do you respond to Jeff and McKinney?
Well, I think he has some very interesting points to make there, and I think the basic perspective that he has there really is on the mark in understanding the effect that sin has had upon us. We should like to be incredibly spiritual, very religious, and in control at the same time. That is the kind of religion that the sinful flesh in all human beings really desire and yearn for. And it is precisely that sense of human autonomy, or this sense of independence, where we do not want to depend upon God for all that we are and all that we have. This really is the root problem of sin when it is viewed on a religious level. So we, rather than seek the true God, we rather go after the idol. And by the idol we mean a God that somehow we can navigate and that we can have the things that we want from Him and at the very same time to be in control. The scriptures are real interesting in talking about how we are in relationship to God as He would come after us and as he would bring his saving work. He says, while we were enemies, Christ died for us. So that we're not seekers, we're not neutral, we rather, because of the problem of sin, are running, as it were, pell-mell, as far away from the true God as we possibly could go, and he is the one who seeks us out and grabs us, as it were, by our own spirit, and he drowns us, as it were, in the context of and smashes us in the context of repentance, and then raises us up unto newness of life by showering us with his saving gifts in Christ Jesus.
If the problem is us, our fallenness, our rebellion, our hatred against God, our Creator, even common sense would tell us that if the problem is us, we can't at the same time be both problem
and solution. Yes, exactly. Probably that old Pogo comic strip says it best, where Pogo says, I have met the enemy, and it is I. And that is precisely the thing. When we claim in Christianity that God has sent his Son to be our Savior, the one for whom he has saved us mostly from is ourselves. We are the problem, and he sent his Son into the world to overcome that problem of sin that has us willingly and desirously in its own clutches. So the problem inside is exactly the things that we find inside us. That is what we need to be saved from, and that is what God sends his Son down to us to accomplish by clothing us in his forgiveness and then recreating us into his nature, not reforming our own.
One other question occurs regarding that last category of a failed attempt to reach God having to do with the mind or the rationality.
Uh-huh.
When we talk about the failed attempt to reach God through rationalism, are we saying, Dr. Hine, that Christianity is anti-intellectual?
No, we're not. We wish to say that Christianity does involve the belief in a God who is far greater than our reasoning capacities. We cannot fathom the full mystery of this God. He is greater and beyond our reasoning capabilities, while at the same time, this is a God who has made himself known and manifest in human history. He has entered into our world. He has come down that ladder. He has left, as it were, the unknown recesses of heaven, and he has walked among us by actually becoming one of us in Jesus of Nazareth. And in Jesus of Nazareth, we have a God with us, not a God that we fully can comprehend with our reason, but a God who has set forth impressive credentials of who he is, what he is like, and how he intends to save us through his plan of salvation that he executes through his Son, Jesus Christ. So Christianity is not anti-intellectual, but it is not rationalistic either.
Folks, here's our mailing address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Here's our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Now, you can use either of those to receive a free complimentary copy of our next issue's Etc. journal, or to make a tax-deductible gift to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. And for any size gift during the Easter season, that's the next 3 weeks, we'll send you interviews on the Passion and Resurrection of Christ. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Now remember, any size gift is deeply appreciated. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or call that resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Jeff from McKinney, Texas, email us back with your address and we'll send you a copy of The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Jean Edward Veith. There is a ladder, by the way, between God and man. In fact, that story of Jacob's ladder is quite instructive if you read it in light of its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. You will notice that when God appears to Jacob there in that dream in the Old Testament, with the ladder that has its top in the heavens at God himself and its foot upon the earth, he doesn't say, "Hey, Jacob, climb up here. Come on, work your way up here, either by your will or your emotions or your thoughts." No. God talks there as though he's already come down. And Jacob recognizes it. He says, "This very plot of ground is Bethel, the house of God." Why? Because God was showing Jacob in that dream exactly what he would do. When he built a ladder, which is the very body of Jesus Christ incarnate in the Virgin Mary, that reaches from heaven down to earth and brings with it the blessings and the mercy and the forgiveness of sins, when that body is hung upon the tree. It's a cross-shaped ladder by which God comes down to us to give his life in perfect obedience, in suffering, in death for us. When you want to think about the ladder that God has planted in the heavens that reaches down to us sinners here on earth, you need look no farther than the crucified body of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross for you. That's it. And that is certain, because it's not something that happens in you. It's something that God has done for you in his Son, Jesus Christ, to save you. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.